1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albee. Are ready, set, go. It could be a record-breaking July 4th travel weekend with more than 30 million people passing through the nation's airports and another 60 million on the roads.
We're expecting record travel again this weekend. Today, about 2.8 million passengers. Busiest day likely to be Sunday at about 3 million. And as you know, we broke a record, 2.99 million, the Sunday before last. So it's been busy since really Mother's Day.
TSA Administrator David Piskoski says they are ready for the crowds. More than 90 million Americans are under heat alerts from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast. The eye wall of Hurricane Beryl's passing along the southern coast of Jamaica, Category 4 storm with 140-mile-per-hour wind. The White House is pushing back on reports President Biden is privately weighing if he will continue his re-election bid. The CDC says a Colorado dairy worker has contracted bird flu. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at wiss.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram his bad debate performance last week pales in comparison to his record in office.
I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
You can hear Earl's entire interview with President Biden tomorrow morning between 8 and 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Biden campaigns in Madison on Friday. The state Supreme Court will take up two cases that would decide the extent to which abortion is legal in Wisconsin. The court agreed yesterday to hear two challenges to Wisconsin's 1849 law. It was initially interpreted as an abortion ban after Roe v. Wade was overturned. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Presidential campaigns owe the city of Green Bay over $55,000 for security expenses from the 2024 campaign and the 2016 campaigns. Mayor Eric Genrich's office released the numbers Tuesday. Former President Trump's campaign owes over $33,000 for his visit to the city on April 17th and over $9,000 for his 2016 campaign. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders still owe Green Bay money from their 2016 campaigns as well. Kristen Lierley is the only Democrat in the race to fill Mike Gallagher's seat in the U.S. House of Representatives for the 8th Congressional District.
I care about affordable housing. Some of my patients don't have a place to live. They live in their cars. They live with their parents.
Republicans Andre Jock, Roger Roth, and Tony Weed will compete in the primary in August before their winner challenges Lierley in November. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
The crew beat the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers were down 3-2 heading into the ninth and clawed their way back to a 4-3 victory over the Rockies, their 26th comeback win of the season. Willie Adames with a clutch sacrifice fly.
We are competitors over here. We're always going to be fighting, and we're never going to give up, you know. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to do that until the end. And, you know, I'm proud of the boys.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, that last inning, I mean, we were fortunate too, but, you know, give our guys credit. You know, we left some guys on base. We didn't really get the big hit. That's baseball, man. That's how you play offense.
NBA, the Bucks introduced their two new players, guard A.J. Johnson, forward Tyler Smith, picked up in the draft. Head coach Doc Rivers asked, what advice does he have for a couple of 19-year-old kids who have to compete with veterans like Giannis and Damian Lillard?
To be competitive. Don't be awestruck. Look everybody in the eye. Respect all veterans. And then try to kick their butt.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day and evening. High mid-80s. And more rain possible Friday, clouds in low 70s. Partly sunny for the weekend, still some storms possible, highs in the 70s.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now. Wow, Wayne, that is a beautiful window.
It sure is, Jeff. It really tackles energy efficiency.
Sure has a nice slide.
It's one of the best screenplays I've ever seen.
They're so easy to close. I'd say it's a grand slam.
If you guys keep making those dad jokes, you're gonna be a real pain in my neck.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you hear about this one, Five?
Get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply on 7/31/2024.
In the words of President Harry S. Truman, America was not built on fear. America was built on courage, on imagination, and an unbeatable determination to do the job at hand. Angie's Bar would like to recognize the members of the United States military who've served and sacrificed in defending our freedom. This message made possible by Angie's Bar. Visit Angie's Bar at 1522 West 6th Avenue in Oshkosh. All current and former military receive one free drink on July 4th.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, hope you're having a great 4th of July weekend. A couple of special shows and then back live on the road to Trigby Olson. What makes Wisconsin great? We'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes, it is. Tim, Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. July 3rd, the day before July 4th, Johnny, it's been one patriotic week. Got to put in, though, a little history trivia for you today. Incredibly important today in American history, July 3rd, 1864 or 3, I think. Something happened dramatic that potentially changed the course or kept the course, but kept America intact. Johnny Lupinacci, you know what happened on this day?
On this day in 1864?
64, I'm pretty sure, or 63. It might be 63.
Is it a quiz for me, or is it a quiz for our listeners?
Well, anybody. You know what? Maybe let's leave that out there right now. Don't answer. Keep it out there.
I think I know, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean,
all right. This is a good one. Trivia out there. What happened on this day? I'm now going to redefine. I'm positive it's 1863, July 3rd, 1863. Yeah, the day before the 4th of July. And in fact, this really made the 4th of July celebration that year incredible because there was something amazing to celebrate at that time. Whoa, how about that?
I think I've been there, if that's a clue for your I wasn't there in 1863, but I've been there a few times, in the late 90s and early 2000s.
If it's
also associated with a pretty famous location where a listener may have traveled to see.
Oh, look at you putting out all the hints right there. Oh, Busted Pencils.
Often associated with. You know, what's that what's that thing you put on a letter when you go to mail it? What do they call those when you put the
stop.
An address? might have been associated with a famous address. I don't know, Tim, though. We'll see.
Johnny Lupinacci, though, welcome. Glad to see you back here. You've downloaded the Civic Media app. You and I have talked about that before. In fact, you use it quite regularly, you talk about.
Well, for sure, Tim. I'll use it. I use it on my smart, whatever they call those speakers that you talk to, and then they play whatever. You got the Civic Media. You can just tell Civic Media, your Bluetooth speaker, to pull up the Civic Media programming. I've got it. Yeah, Teacher Joanna, who's with us tonight, Educator Amplified, just held her phone up to the video stream, and you see the Civic Media app. Yeah, it's on my phone, Tim.
Yeah.
I love it. Right. You can go right to it. If you're a listener and wants to grab it, go to civicmedia.us/email and join us. Also join our newsletter, right?
If you're absolutely
a listener, never miss a beat. And I'd say that because we're going to come around to it a few times this show, but we want to make sure listeners know don't miss a beat, and especially don't miss a beat during Busted Pencils or during our guy, Are we holding secrets for?
We're holding. I do want to address, and we'll get to the show though. Yeah, Sherry and Horicon. Hey guys, this is Sherry from Horicon. Yes, and Sherry tried, and Sherry, you went off of Johnny's clue, but that is not the answer. I will say that you're close.
I could be wrong too. I could be wrong because I didn't say what I think it is.
Okay, let's keep it there. Well, hey, Wednesday, Educators Amplified in the house. Well, Teacher Joanna is here. Teacher Hallie, taking the July 3rd break. Teacher Joanna, how are you, our friend?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited to see you guys. It's been a while, and I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, last week you were in Puerto Rico?
No, that was the week before.
Okay.
Yep.
But now you're back. You're ready to go. You're ready to, you know, you're back in. In fact, the other day I texted you and said, hey, are you available? You're like, hey, Tim, I'm working. I'm like, wait a minute. Teacher Joanna's working in the summer? What?
I am. I got some hours to do, and I've been doing them. And I tell you, I actually enjoy it. It is so amazing how much work you can get done when no one's around. And it did make me really think about the need for some flexible work arrangements in teaching when students aren't around, because it is incredibly difficult to get things done when people are around. And I was hyper productive these past few days when it was just me and my lonesome.
Yeah. Back to that old saying, Johnny Lupinacci, or at least my, you know, teaching would be great if it wasn't for all the people and kids.
Oh man, no.
No, I'm just messing. But yeah, there is something about the ability to get work done when you're in that situation, because man, when school is up and running and the day is started, man, the next thing you know, you're like, you are not getting anything done that day. Even I would always find myself during planning periods just kind of chilling out and relaxing for a little bit, because I couldn't go into doing work during that time. I just had to take a little bit of a break, because that would be the only break I would get 4 days a week, because we only got a planning period when I was teaching 4 days a week, not 5 days a week. One day of the week was nonstop. And on that day, yes, I went to the bathroom during lunch, and then during recess, you know, go out there and do a little lunch duty. But man, all of this is going on, and Johnny Lupinacci is getting closer. It's Busted Pencils, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, a lot of things going on. We have been talking, though, a lot about, well, everything going on with the Bible, the Ten Commandments, all of that stuff. But then coming back into, too, though, we're thinking with Educators Amplified, we need an update, though, on, you know, what's happening in Milwaukee, what's going on right now with that budget deficit that we talked about. It's not a deficit, but the potential that they may owe. I know we want to hit that with you tonight, too. And then we also want to address this issue of saying, you know, where is decision making done when we're talking at the school level? Who's making those decisions? Who gets to participate in those decisions? Because Teacher Joanna, you're kind of like, well, I'll tell you who it ain't. So Johnny Lupinacci, anyway, and Teacher Joanna, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
And almost forgot, though, too, one of the other reasons I'm so happy is Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. That is always something to get excited about. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end that crazy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Man, I have just rambled at this point. Johnny Lupinacci, jump in there.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out your trivia. because you said Sherry was close. As I said, it was associated with something you put on an envelope, but I'm not sure I'm correct. But Tim, I think, you know, it has to do with the Battle of Gettysburg. Am I wrong?
Yes, Johnny Lupinacci, it does have something to do with the Battle of Gettysburg and not the Gettysburg Address. The Gettysburg Address would have happened that November.
Right. But associated with it. So it is Gettysburg that you're talking about.
I am talking about Gettysburg. Yes. But it's not just Gettysburg. It's something that happened at the Battle of Gettysburg on this day.
Well, you're going to have to tell us, man, because I don't know the specifics. It ended? Didn't it end on July 3rd? Or they fought off the, like the story told of how they fought, like they fought through the...
Well, Teacher Joanna, you got this one? Or are you still looking at, you're like, no way, Gettysburg, heck no.
Yeah, I do not have that piece of information in my memory.
Well, the Battle of Gettysburg took place July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg during the American Civil War. If you know what happened specifically on this day, 855-752-4842. I'm going to hold it, Johnny, just to see if I can get one person to be very, very specific, because something very specific happened on July 3rd. And yeah, you know what? We're social studies people, teaching and learning. Throw it out there, a little trivia. You know, people are always going like, I don't need to remember all those historical facts. I know, but sometimes having a little nugget with you occasionally here and there makes for a conversation like tonight on Busted Pencils. Would you put it out there?
I mean, I'm curious. I've been to Gettysburg. I mean, I haven't like studied it. I mean, other than having been like the general, you know, knowledge of what happened at the battle. So I'm curious what gem you have here, Tim, on this?
Well, a little bit of more information. Yeah, my first, actually my second, third, fourth, and fifth years of teaching, I lived 30 miles from Gettysburg.
I was going to say, it's probably pretty close to where you were teaching.
Yeah.
So I know you have insider info on this.
That was my fifth grader field trip every spring, was to load up my fifth graders, head out to Gettysburg, and we did a horseback tour of the battlefield and camping. And talk about, yeah, an awesome experience. Just actually what's making me think of this today is one of those fifth graders who's now a mom and on her own and doing awesome things sent me a little note over Facebook today going, Mr. Slecker, because I'm still Mr. Slecker to her.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when we went to Gettysburg? And I was like, oh my goodness, Amber. Yeah. So what a great blast from there. I know, Teacher Joanna, right?
Yeah, that always feels great. And you guys went camping like overnight.
Yeah. I took them in tents.
Oh,
overnight.
My goodness.
On a battlefield.
Oh, so well, it's that kind of stuff that students remember, something really experiential like that, right?
Yeah. Talk about decision making on that too. And say, potentially people ask me, like, how were you allowed to do that then? We just did it. We planned, we asked, we got parent volunteers. We raised money as a class to be able to pay for the horseback and the campsites and stuff like that. We had donations and we just all got together and somehow managed to do it. I know that some things like that today, it's kind of a rougher situation, you know, lots of liability issues that we're concerned about. Mm. And the whole idea, yeah, of taking, you know, elementary school students overnight camping. But yeah, we had plenty of chaperones. Wow. We are just all over the place. July 3rd, 1863, Battle of Gettysburg. What happened on this day? 855-752-4842. It's Educators Amplified in the house tonight. Teacher Joanna in the house here getting ready. Yeah, a little bit of an update on what's going on with the money in Milwaukee Public Schools, and then decision-making. Where is that locus of power when it comes to making decisions? Busted Pencils, fully leaded education. When we get back, first person to call, maybe you'll get a t-shirt.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor. The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, and talking Civil War, Gettysburg, civic media. Trivia question, though. What happened July 3rd, 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg? Something specific. Kind of held it off. Didn't give any answers during the break. So anybody who has had the luxury of watching us on video through the Facebook, through the X, Twitter, through the YouTube, I did not give out the answer. So it's still out there. We're holding it because Johnny said he didn't want to know the answer yet. Now I'm worried about the potential that this might be, you know, a lot of buildup with, really? That's it? We will see. The for me, my fifth graders, when we went out there, this was a huge part of the field trip that we did, that this is very specific about.
That's what I was thinking. I would love for one of your former students to call in with the answer.
Yeah, that would be great.
This is something that you learned on horseback on this camp. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine Gettysburg horseback camp, and this is awesome, man. So
I will tell you that for this part you actually get off of your horse, so that the students get to really experience potentially what happened that day, and it wasn't on horseback.
I'm now even more curious.
I want to see photos of this too. You got photos laying around of these trips.
Let's get it. Hey, but we got a caller.
Ooh.
Oh, right. A caller calling in. So let's give it a go, if that's okay. Can we give it a go?
Sure, man.
Calling in.
Hi.
Hey, Sherry, what's going on?
Hey, I think I got it right this time. I think it's President Lincoln's inaugural address, because he was the president during that.
You are right. He was the president. It was not his inaugural address, though. The inaugural address happened in 1865, going into there. The Civil War had ended. He was about to begin his second term and gave the inaugural address. That was not what happened on July 3rd, 1863. At the Battle of Gettysburg. I can't give any more hints.
I thought they were fighting on July 3rd. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm ready to learn pretty soon. We got to give it. I think we extend this. We let callers, if any caller wants to get in, like Johnny doesn't have it. Sherry didn't get it, but we're close. We're narrowing in. Right. So Tim, let's see if any other callers want to call in and give it a shot, because maybe they know. But I have a feeling this is insider stuff, and this is why it's so cool when teachers do those kinds of things, like they go with their students on location to important places, you know, that are semi-local, especially to those students, because that's unique to where they're learning, where they're growing up, where they're developing, you know, their core memories, but also their, like, their knowledge base that they're going to take off to them around the world and where they live, and like how you bumped into your student and she brought this up. I love that you're sharing this. I also want to throw out there, hey, if you're a teacher out there listening, you've got an example of this kind of thing like Tim is talking about when they went to Gettysburg as a class and camped and rode around on horses through the battlefield. I mean, how cool was your class, Tim?
I'm like, Johnny, do you got a memorable field trip that you did that you took kids on?
I mean, yes, I took it. I was going to say, dear Joanna, I wasn't allowed on very many field trips.
Oh, okay. As a student?
Yeah, not as a student. And as a teacher, yeah, we did some amazing visits to Washington, D.C. My favorite was to Atlanta. We would go every year to protest the School of the Americas. And so that would be outside Atlanta. And then we would go to Atlanta and we'd go to the MLK Center in Atlanta. We just had a really great trip to Atlanta all the time. We'd go to D.C. Those were always very memorable as a teacher. But unique little tidbit that a lot of folks didn't know is for a while, I also worked in a travel school program where we traveled around and did credit recovery kind of stuff by doing camping and backpacking and rafting and stuff. And so that always was memorable, like teaching democracy when there are about 14 of you and you're living, you know, for several days in the backcountry. Doesn't get any better because you can be like, well, we're going to run this democratically. Here's what that's like. So those are really memorable, like school years for me.
Teacher Joanna, how about you?
Oh, well, I am one to do field trips, which you are right, though, that it's something that's really dwindled. And but I think, you know, I've done the horseback riding, but not at Gettysburg. I've taken kids horseback riding. You used to be able to take them like canoe kayaking. You can't do that anymore. You can't do anything with water. We've done zip lining. And then we've done a ton of things really within the city, because in the past couple of years, we're really limited transportation wise. Like, you couldn't get buses. So now you really can only do a field trip between 9:30 and 1:30. You cannot be picked up earlier than 9:30, and you cannot get picked up later than 1:30. So that leaves you to exploring places within the city. Thankfully, I live in the city of Milwaukee, and there are a lot of really cool things to do here. But those long, you know, going away and all of that, we've really been limited by availability and cost.
It is the cost. And then, Teacher Joanne, I was wondering, though, too, like, if we could loop this into the topic we're actually trying to cover today. You know, when you say used to but can't anymore, and we know there are reasons, the decision making to make these ideas, these plans to, quote, go on field trips, to expand the classroom, as you would say, you know, to really give students an opportunity to dig deep, to practice democracy, like Johnny was saying, you know. When you had that vision and thought, I want to do this, I was thinking about this from a decision making. You know what it was? It was, I kind of walked down to the principal's office and said, hey, I didn't even think I asked. I think I said, hey, we're going to Gettysburg. What do I need to do so that I follow all the rules? But man, that is not the way it happens today when it comes for all those things. So that decision-making, the kind of idea to expand the classroom, you know, we're teaching fifth grade. We're living right there in Eastern Pennsylvania, right outside of the Gettysburg, the town, and making that decision seemed like at the time, well, sounds like a great decision. Who would be against it? Okay. We got Don from Mount Horeb with a potential answer.
Oh, right. I love it.
Okay, let's get him in before the break. Don, what do you think's happening?
Come on, Don.
Well, tickets charged happened on July 3rd, but I don't know if that's exactly what you're looking for.
Don, ding, 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 ding. You got it, man. Tickets charged happened on July 3rd. Johnny Lupinacci's got the look of going, what the heck was tickets charged?
Right.
Teacher Joanna, the same thing. All right, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Dawn, let's get your address. I want to mail you a T-shirt. And when we get back, the significance of a pickets charge and locus of control, who makes these decisions and why. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Glendale is accusing poll observers of disrupting the vote in a special election primary yesterday. Brian Kennedy tells WIS Politics observers were challenging every absentee ballot as poll workers tried to process them. Two of the observers are known conspiracy theorists. Governor Evers says if state lawmakers don't release $125 million set aside for PFAS cleanup, people in small rural communities will be on the hook for cleaning up pollution they didn't cause.
Concerns me as we have small places in all across the state. Their ratepayers are going to have to pony up another 50% to make sure that PFAS are taken care of.
Evers says companies that pollute soil and water should be responsible for cleanup. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Oshkosh police are investigating a homicide Tuesday night. Police were called to the 1000 block of Wisconsin Street for a body lying outside. When they arrived, they found the man had been shot to death. A person of interest has been apprehended. Police are continuing the investigation, but are seeking no additional suspects. What might seem like the most innocent can also be the most dangerous. Green Bay Metro Fire Lieutenant Shauna Wallish says sparklers are some of the most dangerous of the home-use fireworks.
Sparklers are, you know, kind of a hot topic. Sparklers can be really fun, but you got to be really careful with them too. So making sure you have, you know, that fire safety talk with your kids before you hand that over, because it is like handing a blowtorch over to a child.
Wallish said that 25% of firework-related injuries are sparkler-related and occur in children under 5 years old. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's a new Blade Runner in the works at Amazon Prime called Blade Runner 2099. Michelle Yeoh and Hunter Schafer are the series leads and will be joined by Matthew Needham, Johnny Harris, and Caitlin Rose Downey. Plot lines and details about each character are being kept on the down low for the time being. Ridley Scott and David Zucker are executive producing the show, which takes place after both previous Blade Runners. There is no release date yet, but the show is currently shooting in Prague. Actor Jamie Foxx says he saw the tunnel but did not see the light. Fox was referring to the 3 weeks when he was in a coma a year ago. Fox was hospitalized for what remains an undisclosed medical condition and told people on the streets in Phoenix about his ordeal while recording it for social media. I'm just guessing that not seeing the light when about to die would be enough to scare you back to consciousness. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day and evening. High mid-80s. And more rain possible Friday, clouds in low 70s. Partly sunny for the weekend, still some storms possible, highs in the 70s.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
President Calvin Coolidge once said, "Patriotism is easy to understand in America. It means looking out for yourself by looking out for your country." Epic Mortgage will like to thank our members of the military stationed both domestic and abroad for their service to our country. For experienced mortgage loan officers helping you reach your real estate goals, contact Epic Mortgage online at yourepiclender.com. That's yourepiclender.com.
Maggie Dawn.
Hope you all are having a fantastic July 4th holiday weekend. Don't worry, I'll be back at it come Monday. You won't want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
We know you want to dance. You're hearing that rise above. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education on July 3rd. July 3rd, Dawn from Mount Horeb got the right answer. What happened on this day, 1863, Battle of Gettysburg, Pickett's Charge, Johnny Lupinacci, Teacher Joanna.
Whoa.
Look at that.
Look, you got the pictures.
Pulling out the photo album.
Oh, dang. Is that you with the long gun?
You see that? That was me, man. So, okay. So let's, the significance. Yes, it's Pickett's Charge. People are like, well, why is that minute little fact? Well, Pickett's Charge is the third and final day of the Battle of Gettysburg. The first day. And again, remember, this is General Lee's excursion into the North to try to actually bring Lincoln to surrender by occupying the North. Has a great first day, but the Union holds them. Has a great second day, and the Union holds. And on the third day, plans the biggest full frontal assault ever. And so Pickett's was the name of the general that led the leading regiment across a 1 mile open field, walking across that 1 mile open field under cannon and artillery fire and musket fire, got all the way up, even broke through the center of the Union line for a brief moment, but then was beaten back. Pickett's Charge failed. Robert E. Lee left July 4th the next day, celebrate independence, move back down into the South, never to invade the North again. People, historians say that's the turning point of the American Civil War. Pickett's Charge, the failure. And one of the cool things that you do when you go there with kids is you start over where Pickett was and his men, and you walk across that 1 mile trek that they walked across Pickett's Charge, kind of getting that sense of living history and walking through there. And you kind of talk to them about, you know, what's happening, the cannons that are firing, the muskets that are firing, and they're going, but there's nowhere to hide. You're like, no, there's nowhere to hide. It's just a wide open field where these men just marched and got slaughtered. But almost on that day, almost broke through the Union line. Had that happened, that probably would have been a victory for Robert E. Lee, and potentially that victory there could have forced Lincoln to surrender and possibly create two countries. That didn't happen, and instead, on July 4th, the day after, one of the greatest Independence Days in American history. There's your trivia. There's how it all worked. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's interesting. It is a little more, I mean, how did this go with fifth graders being like, you're walking across a battlefield like.
Do everything. We prepare them. We teach them how the soldiers march. They walk real in line, shoulder to shoulder, all the way across, you know, and think about that. What's funny is if you go to Gettysburg and you see this, you will see all the time people walking the 1 mile Pickett's Charge to kind of get that sense, you know. And again, it's either, you know, groups of kids, school children, you'll see adults, you'll see senior citizens out there. That whole idea of Pickett's Charge, and you start right where General Pickett was, and you look across that field and you say, okay, your end point is up at this stone wall in this big tree is where you have to get to. And it's, you know, from a living history standpoint, it's kind of cool. The pictures I was showing you, if anybody else was looking. Yes. And at that time I got so involved with Civil War and Civil War history because of living there, that I actually became a reenactor. And that was me playing dressed up like a Union soldier, and actually went to some reenactments. And there was a film released in 1993 called Gettysburg, in which Tom Berenger plays one of the generals, and Martin Sheen plays Robert E. Lee. And my regiment, that's what we called my regiment, was there to film for the Battle of Gettysburg. And somewhere in those battle scenes, I'm walking around with all of my uniform on. How's that for a lesson? Teacher Joanna, look at you.
I'm so impressed that you're an extra and that you were an actor. I love the things that we learn here. Oh my gosh. That is really cool.
Yeah, we're learning about Pickett's Charge. We're learning about, you know, example of great teaching, Tim. And we're also learning that, Tim, you're a LARP guy.
A LARP?
Yeah, what's right? A, live action role play, right?
Oh, nice.
Reenactments.
Yeah.
These are big. It's a whole like group of people who reenact historical. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to talk with we've been talking on the show quite a bit about, you know, improvements of instruction. And I remember back in a long time ago for me, being new to teaching college and talking about the quality of our education, like how you get to become a good college professor, and the history, the history lecturer that all the students loved. You know, he was like, I'll tell you, you just got to figure out what's engaging and what's fun. And then what happens is he was talking about live action role play and reenactments and historical reenactments that he takes students out to. And man, it was cool. So it just rung a bell with that. Good teaching at the collegiate level. Good teaching all the way around.
Speaking of ringing a bell, there it is, Johnny Lupinacci. You called for it. You know what that means? It is time for our democracy and action focus. And man, what an awesome one to talk about here. Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the morning. Earl's been hosting the Earl Ingram Show for years and years and years. Tomorrow, Johnny, talk about doing his civic democratic duty, interviewing President Biden, the President of the United States. Civic Media, Earl Ingram interviewing President Biden. How much more action in democracy can you get than interviewing the president? Talk about civic media and Earl Ingram. Truly, democracy in action. Democracy in action hero, that Earl Ingram right there. He's an action figure. He's an action hero. Johnny Lupinacci, man, what a great... you know, for civic media, for everybody, for this whole thing, to have President Biden. And I say, you've listened to Earl's show. I mean, talk about somebody who has been bringing it for years, talking about the reality of what it's, you know, just the down home civic engagement, you know, talking about what matters in the community. Earl's been doing it for years. The ability then to land this interview with President Biden and then civic media. Hey, civic media and Earl Ingram all get the Busted Pencils Democracy in Action focus, Johnny Lupinacci.
Absolutely, absolutely. How important those conversations are, and just what an honor, but also great work, Earl. Great work, Civic Media. Looking forward to listening tomorrow, 9 a.m., Earl Ingram.
There it is. So, yeah, Johnny, live action role-playing, though, back to that. You know, there's some criticism of doing that kind of work nowadays, you know, as we've kind of changed. And I get it. I understand, because I will say that during that time, and this was in the 90s, the early 90s, the mid 90s, there was also then the Confederate reenactors at the time. And during those reenactments, you know, would fully dress as Confederate soldiers carrying the stars and bars. The rebel flag, you know, a lot of these things, and the imagery then too, would, you know, how would that work today if you are doing live role play as a Confederate soldier, all kinds of things and how that kind of pops up. But Johnny, as you point out, my very, very first job, though, wasn't teaching fifth grade in Gettysburg. It was teaching second grade in Colonial Williamsburg. Talk about live action role playing. The whole entire town of Williamsburg is set up in the mid 1700s to be reminding of what it was like to live during colonial days. My students, the kids that I had when second graders, a lot of my kids' parents worked in Colonial Williamsburg as first person reenactors. And in fact, one of my students' father was an artisan and a musket maker. So I got to have a musket maker come in and talk to my second graders. I know that was actually some of my best time teaching right there.
Well, it's beautiful stuff because it's, you know, it's when something is like of interest or of passion to you that really comes through. And that's why you kind of want people to be able to be eclectic in those ways. So students get a variety of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And you know what, Teacher Joanna, Educator Amplified, half of Educator Amplified, because Teacher Hallie sometimes, usually with us, but you know, it's summer, we're doing our teacher thing. We gotta get right during the off season so we can be on during the season. But Teacher Joanna, just to bring you up into the conversation, Tim and I have been talking with wonderful educators about how we improve as teachers, whether it's in higher ed or whether it's in, you know, elementary or high school. And what really resonates over the last few weeks is the wisdom shared by callers, by teachers out there. And I emphasize that, by teachers, you know, restating the obvious to Tim and I, and I'm thinking also for you, Teacher Joanna, and what Educators Amplified does, you know, teachers know what they need. Mm-hmm. Teachers are committed to lifelong learning. They're learners leading learners, and they know what they need. And we were talking about how hard it is to change instruction and how school seeps in, and schooling, the patterns of schooling is really, like, really hard to break because we're socialized into it. But teachers know what they need. And it really reminded me of what you, Joanna, and Hallie talk about all the time. It's like, hey, let's remember, like, teachers know what's up. Like, we know what's possible, and we're often not listened to. So I was excited to have you back on the show. Always every Wednesday, but especially this week, kind of as we've been talking about that, just thinking about that, what's it like, that wisdom that teachers have, and then like experience that I know that you and Hallie have shared with us before, but for our listeners, as we're having that, how it is, you know, what are teachers feeling like and thinking about in terms of support for becoming better teachers?
Well, what I have observed and what I've experienced is something that is in the way right now is there's what we know about teaching, you know, and like the art and craft of teaching. And then there's the actual system that we work in. And those two things are not aligned. And I saw that change over the course of my career. My career started in 96. And when I started, we were back to like, I was 22 years old starting out in the classroom, respected and expected to function as a professional, making decisions. And I think that was good because everyone around me helped me. But I watched that curve go to treating you not like a professional then, and saying like, you can't do these things. I actually read an article today that was called The Triumph of Counting and Scripting. And it was talking about the influx of like data. It was an example from a researcher of like them following a chaplain at a hospital who, like, chaplains are like volunteer, but this chaplain had to like mark down, like, offered prayer as a resource. He had to like offer. But it reminded me of school and the triumph of counting and scripting. And so this is kind of what's disconnected us and our knowing to what we're actually able to do, and the frustration then with that disconnect.
And there it is, man. What a nice layup, or putting us up there. Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, Teacher Joanna Moore on the expertise of teachers and the respect or disrespect. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, the number is 855-752-4842. July 3rd, day before the 4th. History lesson for everybody listening to the first parts of the show. Pickett's Charge happened on this day, July 3rd, 1863. And at that point, Pickett was repelled. The Union was saved. General Robert E. Lee retreated back to the South. Civil War ended in April 1865 with a victory, and we have a single country now. But we've got Teacher Joanna here. Joanna, you were talking about, you know, this just the overwhelming amount of, I want to say, like, minutia and garbage required to be done before you can actually get to the reality of teaching, is the way I heard you describing that. Is this like, I want to start teaching, I'm working with this, but, you know, you're talking about the chaplain, like, going, you know, gotta pray, scripts and all this. And we keep hearing about this. In fact, we've had conversations about the big movement of high quality instructional materials, which typically, when you look at them, are scripts and in fact, you hear principals or instructional leaders, as they try to refer to themselves, saying you need to follow this script with fidelity. And I'm thinking that sounds absolutely nothing like a teacher exercising professional autonomy and decision-making the way you were talking.
Well, yeah. And well, you're right. And I like the language you used. But it's something really serious when we think about, I don't know how aware your audience is or not, about the fact that, right, we don't have a lot of people desiring to go into teaching any longer. And that's part of it. Like, I think if it was me now, I might view it differently. And they definitely come in and they're disappointed. You know, like I said, I work with groups of newer educators, and they're like, why did I have to share like who I really am and what I'm about? Why do I have to tell them that I'm totally into the Civil War if once I show up in my classroom, I can't use any of that? Why, you know, and so that's disappointing. Like, you go into it, you know, you do go into it, right? My son's girlfriend is looking for her first teaching job, and I'm hoping she gets it in enough time that she can spend the summer dreaming, right? Like, you picture yourself in this space. You think about what you're going to bring in and how it's going to look and what you're going to do. And so that's part of it, right? And then when you get there and it's like, oh, I can't, that's really deflating, right? And it's just like, oh, you just want me to like, And I think that's a part of the story with the teaching Exodus that's not being told, right? Mm. That has a lot to do with it. And so then you have people maybe like myself or mid-career who, you know, navigate through it, but it's kind of at your own risk. Or, you know, how you said you went to your principal and was like, hey, I want to go do this thing. And you were supported, right?
Right.
Now, when people go do that, they're like, is there a way we can make sure that it fits? Because I don't know if that's not really in line with the curriculum. You know, that they make
some VR goggles on a cart. Can you just put them on the kids? And
yes, an
app they can go to Gettysburg and do that same thing with the VR goggles.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people who do actually like get denied.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, you get denied with wanting to take students out on outings. And so, yeah, I don't know if I'm always just sounding like Debbie Downer, but Educators Amplified is more about just telling the reality, you know, saying that, yes, you know, and I used to share that with my students a lot. I'd be like, hey, guys, because they would be in high school. They don't go on many field trips. And so we would. And I would talk with them, though, about how, you know, the school doesn't make it easy for us to do this. So I would actually kind of say that to get more of their buy-in and their full cooperation. You know what I mean? Being like, hey, yo, right. Yeah. Being like,
yeah,
saying like, this isn't an easy thing to do. So if we're going to put in the work, if we're going to put in the time, the effort, find the money, we all got to really want to do this. We all got to really be cool and good to each other about it. Because yeah, it's not as easy. And yet as an educator, I know how meaningful, important experiential learning is, and that going out into your community and learning from the other experts and understanding your history and all of that is so it's learning. It's how children learn, right? And so your professionals out here know that those experiences matter, and are frustrated when they can't build them in.
Yeah. And I think about it too, you know, what Tim shared, and we were talking about it, you know, lightly, but that the importance of that autonomy or that creativity. Teaching is an art. It's a craft, right? It's knowing your learners, but also knowing what they can get excited about and how to connect that to content in meaningful ways. And that teacher Joanna does it differently than, you know, teacher Tim, then teacher Johnny and teacher Hallie. Like, they can all do that at high quality and do it differently. But we worry, and more than worry, we speak truth to power, like Joanna just shared right there, telling the reality, sharing the stories, that far too often teacher creativity is seen as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely stifling. I mean, for any creative out there to be, you know, there are some boundaries, but within those boundaries, that creativity.
Well, it's stifling to the professional, and it's lame to the kids. They can see it. They can feel it. There's a very different feeling. There's different energy coming off and different engagement from my teacher, the reenactor, versus the teacher who's going through slides about, you know, the charge of whatever.
Pickett's charge.
And so it's such a vital in part of learning, is that bringing the realness. I mean, I am fully myself. I think it took 10 years for me to become fully myself in my craft. And then things really just took off.
Mm. What a show tonight. Tim, Joanna, thank you. Minocqua Brewing Company, thanks for sponsoring Busted Pencils. You know, if you're out there in Madison, or if you're anywhere, you can go online, right? And you can support Minocqua Brewing Company. You can get any Minocqua brews that you desire at minocquabrewingcompany.com. See where you can buy progressive beer. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Teacher Joanna, Dr. Tim, it's great to be with you here on this Wednesday. Both of you have a happy 4th. Listener, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Happy 4th, everybody.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
John and I wish you a happy extended 4th of July weekend. Whatever you have planned, fireworks, picnics, family get-togethers, enjoy yourself, but celebrate safely. Then join us Monday morning when Johnny's back from vacation.
Weekday mornings 6 till 9. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, it's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report. Heard weekday mornings at 5 right here on WISS. If you like food, if you like farmers, tune in and learn. 5 a.m. on Air Support 93.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.